What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
The Royals have been busy, busy, busy at the trade deadline. The Royals have made two moves while the show has been going on. They have acquired three separate pitchers. We are going to learn everything we can to learn about these guys in the next 20 minutes. Before we get there, I just want to take a 90-second detour to talk a little bit of football before we get back to the Royals. I promise you, this won't take long. It might take less than 90 seconds. I know that I am a FanDuel endorser. I would tell the people at FanDuel this. If you are putting real American currency on the Hall of Fame game today, you got to call that number. You, my friend, have a problem. If you were betting on the result of the Hall of Fame game or an anytime touchdown or the spread or over under on a game in which Hendon Hooker and Trey Lance are going to be the starting quarterbacks, I'm telling you, right, problem, my friend. And need to call the number. That's it. I don't have anything else. I don't have any thoughts about the game. I know that some of you are very excited that football's back. I'm sure it will do really well on television today. I will watch a small amount of it in my own time, and that's about it. I don't have too much interest in watching fake football. This is barely a step up from watching the USFL. This is barely a step up from watching the XFL. This is the XFL with familiar uniforms is what it is. I'm not that interested in it. I miss football the way that you do. I just would rather watch a football movie if that was the case. I'd rather watch Happy Gilmore 2 again than watch the entire Hall of Fame game if those are my two options. I'd honestly much rather do that. So I just want to tell you again, and we're about to move on, I promise you, if you have placed money on today's Hall of Fame game, I don't care who you are, you have a problem. And I want you to know that. I want you to identify that within yourself. And I want you to call the number on yourself and tell them, I have a problem. Coming up in about 7 minutes, we are going to head to Pittsburgh. The Royals just made a trade for a starting pitcher for the Pittsburgh Pirates. They also made a trade to get two guys from the Padres. One's name is Ryan Berger. The other one is Steven Kolick. We had a guest on the show earlier today. His name was Ben Higgins. He thinks that Berger has high-end rotation stuff.
Kolick can be the other guy, Steven Kolick, in the trade. He can be a back-of-the-rotation guy. I think right now, yeah, Berger's probably a four. But I think, you know, as he develops and gets a little bit more mature, that he could get up to like a three or a two type guy. But I thought a Berger for mean trade made a lot of sense. I think the Royals are doing well to get two starting pitchers, and a marketing pitching is so valuable. Not guys that you're hoping make it to the big leagues, but guys who have already pitched well on the big league level. So you have a confidence level that you're not just buying a lottery ticket. You're actually getting players that you can put in your rotation now. I think the Royals did really well in this trade.
I think the Royals did really well in this trade as well. I am on Baseball America right now, looking at kind of how they felt about him coming into the season. And they were very, very hopeful when it came to Ryan Burgert. You have a 25-year-old pitcher who just made it up to the big leagues, who has shown you versatility, whether it's out of the bullpen, whether it is making 11 starts so far this season, a guy who has a sub-3 ERA, a guy who is just beginning his career. So you got a lot of club control and a lot of flexibility when it comes to that player. And what you gave up was a 30-year-old backup catcher who just didn't fit into your long-term plans. Freddie Fermin has some value. He's a guy that can hit it a little bit, a plus defender for you. Certainly makes sense for a team that is trying to go for it like you're the Padres. But if you're the Royals and you already have a catcher in Salvador Perez that can catch when you need him to, you then like your current backup options. And I would say whether it's your opening day starter and 2026 or 2027 in Carter Jensen, he is rapidly coming up the farm system. Freddie Fermin was expendable. Like, you can move on if that's the case. If you can move on and tell me that you pick up a 25-year-old rookie with club control, you also get a 28-year-old who has made a handful of starts in Stephen Kolick. I don't know if you can look at that as a negative. I think the Royals did what they were supposed to do in regards to moving on from Freddie Fermin. Here is Ben Higgins. We asked him about Kolick to give his scouting report. Here's what he said.
He'll give up a lot of singles and some hits, but he gets a lot of ground balls. I think he leads the league in getting double play grounders. So he gets into trouble. He gets out of trouble. A little dicier, but he's done a really good job with a sinker that's got good movement and induces a really high ground ball rate.
I think these are moves that you have to make if you're the Royals. These moves, I think, fill a void for you in the short term. The Royals just had a bullpen game a couple of days ago. So you need guys that can eat innings for you. And again, we just mentioned club control. You've got every pitcher that the Royals acquired today. You have at least 3 years of club control on. So it helps you today because you don't have enough arms because of the injury and attrition that's happened to your roster. And you also got flexibility and low cost for each of these guys moving forward. It's just hard to kind of find the negatives, I think, in these moves. Last thing here from Ben Higgins, and we're going to head to Pittsburgh here coming up in a little bit. Here he is giving a letter grade to the move.
I'd say for the Royals, definitely like an A-. For the Padres, they really did need a catcher, so I'll give them a B for that. A little overpay, but I think Fermin's a good fit for them.
So that was Ben Higgins earlier today. He covers the San Diego Padres. They also made a trade with the Pirates. We'll get to that here coming up in a bit. Rob, I want to give you a chance to get your thought process out on this trade as well. I think that sometimes a trade can just benefit both sides. There doesn't have to be a winner or a loser. Both sides can be winners. Both sides can be losers. To me, this seems like a trade that both sides can be winners. If you're the Padres, you desperately needed a catcher. You got one, I would say, for a relatively low cost. Now, let's see what Burgert turns into. Maybe you end up really overpaying for him, but let's see how the rest of his career turns itself out. If you're the Royals, you take a player that didn't factor in to your 26, 27, and 28 plans, and you get two players that potentially do, and one with, you just heard, the ceiling who could maybe be a 2 or a 3 for you. This is a nice dice roll for the Royals.
And we can talk about the bigger picture later in the 5 o'clock hour, because we will have a guest on from Pittsburgh here in a few minutes to talk about Bailey Falter. In a vacuum, I really like both deals. Pitching is the currency of baseball. I know that was a Dayton quote, but J.J. Piccolo, while different than Dayton, and I think that's worth noting, is still a Dayton disciple, acquired a ton of pitching at the deadline. And I know deals are kind of still leaking in. Maybe they got a bat. I don't know. But they acquired club control pitching, and you can never have too much of that. 25, 26, 27, 28-year-old starting pitchers are a good thing to have in the system. You do not want to be in a situation where it's July 25th and Rich Hill is starting for you at 45 years old. I know the text line got all excited because they signed Dallas Keuchel to a minor league deal. Dallas Keuchel at 37 years old should not be part of your plan. So having a plethora of club control 20-something starting pitchers is very, very good. So both deals I like in a vacuum. But we will talk about this later in the 5 o'clock hour, I presume. Zero bats today does feel a little odd for a team that, at least from the outside looking in, appears to be buyer-ish. They weren't full-on buyers. There are definitely teams that were buyers today. I don't know they were full-on buyers. but they were buyer-ish, and they did not buy the thing that we overwhelmingly think they needed. I like the deals. I don't know they solved any of their major issues today, though.
Yeah, I would say that the Royals used the trade deadline to fill some immediate needs. They needed more arms. It's not realistic for the Royals to have a bullpen game once a week, which is what it was kind of looking like it could be until some guys get healthy and get back. So in the short term, I mean, you added three guys that could start for you tomorrow. The Royals are off today, tomorrow. I don't know when guys are on the rotation, but just theoretically, all three of the guys that they just acquired could start for you tomorrow if you needed them to. You didn't have enough of those guys in your farm system. You didn't have enough of those guys that were ready to help you given your injury situation. So the next pitcher that they traded for was Bailey Falter. He currently is on a one-year, $2.2 million deal. He has 3 years of arbitration left, so ages 29, 30, and 31. They have Bailey Falter under club control as well. So we're talking about a guy in Bailey Falter who is now on his third team. He has made a handful of starts in his career, actually much more than a handful. I was looking at the wrong thing. He has 81 starts in his career. He is a guy who has pitched almost 500 innings in his career and has a 4 ERA. He is a fine, low-end starting pitcher. That's what he is. He is a fifth. He is a potential long relief guy, but what he has shown these last 2 years is an ability to eat innings. He had 142 innings in 2024. So far this season, he has pitched 113 innings for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So you didn't give up a whole lot, but you got a starter with club control for the next 3 years who has stayed healthy these last couple years. He made 28 starts and currently has made 22 starts this season. You acquire him for next to nothing. You got club control for the next 3 years. Hard to really argue that trade as well. Let's learn a little bit more about Bailey Falter with our guy Adam Crowley joining us on 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh. Adam, when was the last time that you got a request to talk about the Pirates?
Paul Skeens related matters. It'll happen from time to time. I got to tell you, I did not expect to be talking about Bailey Falter today. And frankly, I did not expect to be mad about something having to do with Bailey Falter today. And as a Pirates fan and somebody who talks about them daily, I am upset that the Pirates made this move, which I think probably means good things for you and your listeners.
Okay, so let's figure out why you were mad. Are you mad about the compensation? Are you mad that Pittsburgh traded him away? Why are you mad about this?
Yes, I am mad about both of those things. The Pirates are trying to be good in 2026. At least that's the stated goal. Nothing they've done today would back that up. So that's why I'm mad on the Pirates front. But you want to know more about Bailey Falter. He's a smoke and mirrors guy. He doesn't throw super hard. You'll watch him, and you'll probably ask yourself regularly, how is he getting people out? Well, the secret of Bailey Falter, I'm sure they'll mention it on the broadcast because they do it here in Pittsburgh all the time, is his extension. He releases the ball very close to home plate. He's got deception in that delivery. And so for a guy who really doesn't throw super hard, sometimes can hit 94, 95, but usually sits around 91, 92. He'll get a strikeout in a key moment. Also, he's got three more years of control. He figures to be pretty cheap, and he's a serviceable fourth or fifth starter. And from the left side, I heard you say, I think you're right, worst case scenario with a guy like Bailey Falter is he's valuable long relief from the left side. I think he's a pretty good player, and he's had a great attitude. When he got to Pittsburgh, he had really struggled prior to his arrival. He struggled at the beginning portion of his Pittsburgh tenure. And he tweaked his delivery. He had a smiling face on. He was a good teammate, turned things around. And he's been one of the few bright spots, frankly, these last 2 years for the Pirates.
I mean, this just seems like the ideal kind of back-end starter for a team. Like, I'm looking at the Royals, if everybody is healthy, you got Lugo, Reagans comes back, Bubich made the All-Star team this year. You also got Noah Cameron. You might not know who he is, but he has been an exceptional rookie for the Royals this year. They've got three or four names. I think you're just asking Bailey Falter to come in, be a fifth starter for you, and a guy that can eat up innings and throw some ground balls, and it sounds like that's what he is.
That's right. He will take his turn every fifth day, and he'll give you five, six innings, and you'll have a chance to win. He's a solid starting pitcher, and if you can get one of those guys to round out your rotation, you can get one of those guys to round out your 26-man roster, and you don't have to pay much of anything for him, and you don't have to give up a top 30 prospect, as I understand, I think that's a slam-dunk good deal for the Royals. I mean, he wasn't even discussed as a potential trade candidate this last month or so in Pittsburgh because, well, their ownership is cheap, and that's an understatement. He's cheap, Bailey Falter, and he's pretty good. I mean, he's an ideal Pirate, and I think he'll make a good addition really to any rotation. And again, if he's not part of a rotation, I mean, he could even be a little bit of a left-handed specialist for you if necessary.
I'll get you out of here with this last question. These are your options. You have to bring Matt Canada back to be the offensive coordinator for the Steelers for the next 3 years, but that means that the Pirates are going to have new ownership. Are you going to take that trade?
Oh, absolutely. That's an easy one.
You guys hated Matt Canada, though. You despised him.
I know that. I thought you were going to go with more of a short-term solution for the Pirates, but if you could change ownership for the rest of my life and my kids' lives, I would do pretty much anything. You could come over here and peel my toenails off, and I would do that to get this guy out of town.
Well, you know what? I look forward to, you know, usually when we have you on, we have you on to talk about your 9-win football team. We'll definitely get back to that. I can't wait till you guys get off to a nice 4-2 start and then you guys falter in the second half and then we figure out if you're going to lose to Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo in round one. That's why we usually have you on, but today we had to switch things up with the deadline.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to you about my 9-7-1 Steelers headed to Arrowhead for that playoff game where they're going to lose by 45.
Okay, well, you heard it right there. That Adam Crowley, who does mornings in Pittsburgh, has them with a tie with the Cleveland Browns at some point this season. Great stuff, Adam. Appreciate you.
Hey, thanks a lot. Be good. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. That's Adam Crowley joining us on the show today. How can football season be excited if you know your team's going to go 9-7-1? You know, I don't know how excited you can be about football season. You're just me.
The Drive.
We have more
first
Royals
to
news.
Breaking news in Kansas City.
Carrington, another deal snuck in right under the buzzer.
Hold on. Let me guess. All right, I haven't even seen it. I swear I haven't seen it.
All right, here we go.
They got a pitcher.
0-1.
Okay. They got a... He hits 240. He plays infield for an American League team.
You got a third of that right. The Royals have acquired Mike Yastrzemski, an outfielder from the Giants. He is basically left-hand hitting Randall Grichuk. He hits 231 this season. Okay. He does, in fact, have 8 home runs, though. The Royals acquired him right under the wire as that deadline news just came through. Mike Yastrzemski.
Are they bringing his peoples with them? Is his grandpa coming?
Carl would be a bigger deal.
That's it. They have no more moves. Do we need to get somebody for Mike Yastrzemski? I don't even need help learning how to pronounce this guy's name. I already know. I already know how to pronounce his name.
He's got a...
I mean, I never heard of him, but I've heard of him, you know?
You probably heard of his grandfather.
No, I've definitely have heard of his grandfather before.
This is basically...
I mean, hold on. This guy gets on base. I can live with this a little bit. He gets on base. He's got a 330 on base percentage. I mean, that makes him like Tony Gwynn on this team. You get on base 33% of the time, you're Tony Gwynn. Right, come on now. He has 8 home runs, 28. I mean, this guy, it makes sense. I mean, he strikes out a lot, but I'm okay, all right. Mike Yastrzemski? This is a big time. The Royals were active. This was an active deadline for the Royals.
They had a really good deadline. I know it is not a sexy name.
I would use the term really good. That seems strong, but...
They got better, and they got better in 25 and in 26.
Isn't that the goal of the deadline?
Like... And I would also say, we didn't talk about it on the show, the Twins don't have any baseball players left, so the Twins got worse today. Like, if you, for those keeping track.
Let me check this man's contract. Let me see what it looks like.
He's 30-something, so I think it's an expiring deal.
Okay. All right. Let me look. Let me just look. I can't look. Okay, you're right. It was a 1-year deal for Mike Yastrzemski. Do you think this says anything about Jack Caglione, if he's coming back anytime soon?
I think it says
I'm just throwing that out there.
I think it says way more about MJ Melendez and how he's going down pretty soon.
Okay, well, I mean, we knew that, didn't we? So they owe, I'm sitting here looking at it, they owe Mike Yastrzemski, they owe him $2.9 million the rest of the season. And he has 8 home runs, 28 RBIs. He's hitting .231 with a .330 on base percentage. Is he starting tomorrow for the Royals, you believe?
If they're facing a righty, then yeah, I would bet.
All right. I mean, I will say this. They did do a lot. There's no question they did a lot. No question. They have picked up 2 position players in the last week and 3 pitchers in the last week. You had 5 guys to your roster. You did something. I don't know if they move the needle. Certainly not for them offensively. You can't tell me they move the needle offensively. But you have, this is how I look at it. They have 1 star player that they've gotten, Ryan Burgert. Mm-hmm. Everything you have heard, everybody that talks about him, this is a 25-year-old prospect. He was the top 10 prospect in the Padres system. He has the potential to turn out to be something.
Star. By the way, real quick, I hate to interrupt. We will have a San Francisco guest talk about Mike Yastrzemski at the bottom of the hour.
How'd you already book a guest? Did you know that this trade was coming?
I am him. That's what the kids are saying.
I just want to know how somebody tipped you off to this trade. How do we already have somebody on the show to talk about Mike Yastrzemski? So they made a trade. They have 1 star player, I would say, with him. Kolek, if I had to guess, he ends up being a long reliever for the Royals. It's hard to think that Kolek's going to be in their rotation next year. Is that fair to say? It's kind of hard to think that he would be in their rotation. I don't think he's in their rotation over Bailey Falter. I'm guessing that Kolek probably turns out to be their Michael Lorenzen. He ends up being a long relief guy that can maybe be a starter if something goes wrong kind of guy. I'd be a little surprised if Stephen Kolek was a starting pitcher for them. And then you pick up an end-of-the-season bat with Yastrzemski. Maybe he's on the team next year. I mean, we'll see what happens in free agency. We'll see if he is back next year. And then you pick up a guy who is showing you versatility that can, you know, be a good fourth outfielder for you.
Here, I mean, I think we see it mostly eye-to-eye. The reason I use the term really good and is because acquisition cost. The Royals got better for 2026, albeit marginally. They didn't go from a 53-54 team to suddenly they're a 100-win team, but they got better in 25, and I think they got better and stronger for 26. I think they now have the assets needed to make a big move going into 26, and the acquisition cost was Freddie Fermin.
Yeah.
Like that's part of the thing here. Like, the Royals have to operate. They're not going to outspend anyone. So if you're giving up a backup 30-year-old catcher, you're getting a guy who we heard has star potential as a starter. You're getting, you know, a lottery ticket type reliever. And then you're getting a back end of the rotation, could be a bullpen type of arm and Falter. And let's see if he helps you type of bat. You also added Adam Frazier and Randall Grichuk, and you essentially gave up the biggest name we can think of is Freddie Fermin. I mean, I can't imagine Mike Yastrzemski cost the team a big prospect. That's good acquisition cost for the players they added.
I also wonder if the Giants are willing to eat some of the money as well. I'm just curious. I mean, they owe him $3 million the rest of the season. I'm curious if the Giants were, hey, let's split this difference with you. We want a better prospect. We'll split the difference for you to make sure we give ourselves a chance at a better lottery ticket. It could be what happens. We don't know. Let's take a guess. Rob is working today. We took a trip to San Diego to talk Padres. We took a trip to Pittsburgh to talk about the Pirates. Now we're heading to San Francisco to talk about Mike Yastrzemski. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up.
Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by Street Easy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's head to the phone lines today. We're just taking trips around the United States today. We were in San Diego. We went to Pittsburgh. The Royals keep making moves. Right when I think they're done making moves, they make another move. Rob's really been on top of it. He might hit the breaking news sounder in the middle of this. Tell me the Royals have made another trade. They can't even make trades anymore. The deadline is closed. They have picked up Mike Yastrzemski. He played for the San Francisco Giants. So far this season, he is hitting .231 with a .330 on base percentage. He has 8 home runs and 28 ribbies. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Joe Shasky, who does morning for 95.7 The Game out in San Francisco, to get his thoughts on Mike Yastrzemski. Joe, how you doing today, my man?
I'm doing great. You know, you guys are getting a good ball player. You read off those numbers, and they're not going to blow anyone away. I'm telling you right now, Mike Yastrzemski is a good ball player. He's not a power hitter. He's a really good defensive outfielder. On a great team, he might be your fourth outfielder. But if you've got some sluggers and you can plug and play Mike Yastrzemski around those guys, this is a guy that's just an all-around good player. Great defensively. Plus arm, in my opinion, good range, played right field for the Giants the last few years, and will do all the little things, okay, in terms of bunting, getting guys over, can go first to third. Not a blazer, but certainly, you know, not some slug on the base pass. He's a good ball player. The problem is that for the Giants, the reason why they did this deal, this guy's an avatar for their frustration. A 34, 35-year-old guy stymieing the opportunities for young 20-year-old type players, because he is better than them right now, and he does give them a better chance to win today. And so I think you're getting a good ball player here. I'm telling you, I like Mike Yastrzemski. Just Giants fans were kind of done with him.
Yeah, just looking at his splits right now against right-handed pitchers, he's hitting .254. Against left-handed pitchers, he's hitting .145. This just seems like a guy that you're going to platoon, that you're going to maybe play him 2-3 times a week. You're going to play him in certain situations to take advantage of his strengths.
Well, so if you go back to last year, the splits were almost identical. So you can probably look that up. But historically, yes, he has struggled against lefties. He does strike out 100, 120 times a year. He's had years where he's hit 15 to 20 jacks. He's had years where the batting average has been about where it is right now, .230. But I'm telling you, the guy's a good ball player. Like, he is. He is a good ball player. He's hard-nosed. He's classy. He plays great defense. Like, to me, the Giants were so bad they had to do this. Like, they just did. And I root for the Royals. Bobby Witt Jr. is one of the most intoxicating players on the planet, all right? He just is. He's so much fun. I hope he can help you guys. I will root for Mike Yastrzemski. Remember, his grandfather's Carl Yastrzemski. Everyone here called him Yaz, Mikey Yaz. He's a good guy, a good ball player. I think he's a winning player. You just need really, really, really good players around him, and he can be a productive dude.
Yeah, I'm looking at the contract. I mean, it's not bad. The Royals owe him around $3 million between now and the end of the season. I wonder if he's a guy that could possibly come back to Kansas City next year. I mean, he's only played for one organization. So, I mean, this is his first time to kind of test free agency and see what he wants to do this offseason.
Yeah, and, you know, the way the Giants acquired him, you know, after the championship runs, you guys went on one. You know, after the championship runs, it was just – They changed regimes. They went to this guy, Farhan Zaidi. And Mike Yastrzemski represents kind of the Farhan Zaidi, the former GM, his entire tenure. He's an avatar for fan frustration from the prior regime. They found this guy in a dumpster bin, if you will. He was a former first-round pick. I believe this was the Orioles. And they found something in the guy, and he ended up being a really productive player for them. I mean, so he's been here since like 2018, 2019. He is a very solid player. It's just he's been miscast as a middle-of-the-order guy. We had no real thumpers. So he batted 3, 4, 5. This year they experimented with him leadoff. He's a 7, 8, 9 hitter on a stacked lineup. I know you guys, we watched you guys play earlier this year when you played the Giants, and I think he slots somewhere in that 7, 8, 9 slot. And if he's a double leadoff guy, you could do a hell of a lot worse than him.
Joe, I want to get you out of here with this last thing before we let you go. Just sit back and listen for a little bit.
A 3-yard touchdown pass in overtime. Kansas City wins the game 25-22. And the Chiefs Kingdom has started its own history class. Because for the first time in 6,944 days, there is a back-to-back Super Bowl champion.
I just wanted to make sure before we let you go, I wanted to make sure that you heard Mitch Holtis call the Super Bowl win against San Francisco. I just wanted to make sure that you had that
why
in your
day. Why you gotta do that, dog?
I just wanted to make sure.
Why you gotta do that, dog? Like, for real. Like, oh, my God.
It's Kansas City and San Francisco. That seemed appropriate. I don't have any more questions about their fourth outfielder. I had run out of questions. I don't want to know about your football team. I just wanted to play that for you.
Oh, my God. You know, it's funny how San Francisco and Kansas City have been connected over the years. Steve DeBerg, Joe Montana, Elvis Gerback, you know, obviously Andy Reid had San Francisco ties, San Francisco State boy. There's just so many weird random ties. You know what I should do every time I come on? How about that guy Madison Bumgarner, huh? Should I do that every single time I come on?
I mean, they've won the World Series since then. You guys have not won the Super Bowl since then. I mean, no, you can definitely bring up Madison Bumgarner, but you know what? You kind of lose a little bit of that sting when I was at a championship parade a year later.
Dude, you know, I got to say, no, that's a great point, but I got to say, like, Patrick Mahomes, he drives me
okay,
crazy.
All right, Joe, you
he's
know
so
what?
Good.
All right. You've now taken it too
him.
Far. You're mocking Pat's voice. You've taken it too far. Come on now.
You know what? It's just he's so good. You can't hate him because he's that good, but I do hate him, if that makes any sense whatsoever. The ones you truly hate the most are so good, you almost have no rebuttal. It was me with Emmitt Smith in the 90s. Like, he was so good. It was like, I hate him, but he's so good, and he's a good dude. It's, like, hard to, like, truly hate the person or the player. And Mahomes is the same thing. I will say this. Last year was misery for us because you sent us into a tailspin. We went 6-11. It was just a nightmare. We never got over losing you guys in overtime. And then you guys lose to the Eagles, a team I hate more than anyone. Do you know how bad that Super Bowl was for us? It was awful.
I mean, Joe, you know what? I love you. I really do. You made fun of Patrick Mahomes' voice, and then you bring up the Eagles Super Bowl. I got to let you go now, Joe. Thanks for coming on the show today. You did a lot in the last 3 minutes. You did a lot, but you know what? I might have started the first shot, so that's life.
It's all good. You hit me up anytime, and I mean it, dude. Bobby Witt Jr., to me, if I'm starting a baseball franchise today, give me the superstar in his 20s with the freaking generational baseball talent in his blood, playing shortstop up the middle for the next 15 years. Bobby Witt is the number one pick for me in all of baseball if I'm starting a franchise. I am dead serious. You guys are lucky.
That is Joe Shasky joining us on the show today with 95.7 The Game out in San Francisco. Love having him on, like having a little bit of fun with our guy Joe Shasky. Everything the Royals have done today makes perfect sense. Everything they've done makes sense. They got a fourth outfielder, potential starting outfielder for the rest of the season in Mike Yastrzemski. You add another platoon guy with Randall Grichuk. You have three starting pitchers. I mean, this is in line with what I thought the Royals were. Once we realized the Royals weren't going to trade Seth Lugo, like, if you are upset that the Royals didn't make a bigger splash, I understand why you're upset. But once the Royals told you that we're not trading Seth Lugo, who are they trading to then make a big splash? This isn't the free agency deadline. It's the trade deadline. who are they then trading to then go get this big impact bat? Lugo was the only person. You can't trade Reagans. He's hurt. You can't trade Chris Bubich. He's hurt. Who did you think they were trading to get this bat once they re-signed Lugo to an extension? So now it's about picking up the secondary pieces. And they've picked up five in the last 3 days. I just don't know how upset you can be about that. You go get a 25-year-old rookie in Burgert who has shown you great promise. You got two possible long relief inning eating pitchers. And you got two guys that you can platoon that if you add them together, you got an okay player. They basically got an old version of John Rave today. And didn't give up a whole lot to go get him. This was a fine deadline from the Royals. I'd give the Royals, based on what my expectations are, I'd give the Royals a B+ today. I'd give them a B+. Again, it's on a curve. I mean, I don't think any of these moves are the moves that get them over the deadline. This isn't 2015 where the Royals felt like they were the best team in baseball, so they took a swing to go get Cueto and Zobrist. I mean, that's not what this trade deadline was. The Royals needed some starting pitching. They went out, they got some starting pitching. The Royals needed an outfield bat. They got one to some extent. I'm not upset with what the Royals did this offseason, or I guess this trade deadline. It's in line with kind of how they moved.
I actually think you're being a little bit harsh of a grader. I'm going to give it an A-, and maybe I'm just being friendlier to you for all the same reasons. But, I mean, for me, I cannot get over the acquisition cost to me is so low, and they got better not just this year but next year. Like, how many times at the deadline do you say, like, oh, they added a player, but like, even when they were all in, what does it mean for next year? They almost did nothing. That they make got better in next year and in this year, and gave up Freddie Fermin to do it. We now know who the player was they gave up to get Yastrzemski. It's a 21-year-old who's in A ball right now as a pitcher and is having his first good season as a pro. Like, they gave up their 20th ranked prospect, Freddie Fermin, a reliever they don't like, and a first baseman you've never heard of for three pitchers and a bat. Like, that, it is hard to dislike that as a Royals fan. Does it mean World Series? No, but you can have a good deadline even if you don't end up in the World Series. So I give it an A-, B+. I think we're largely in the same camp.
Yeah, no, we are. Someone on the text line asked, who all did the Royals trade? So here's the full synopsis. The Royals have acquired Mike Yastrzemski from the Giants. They have traded Yunar Marte. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Marte, yeah.
Yunar Marte. I want to make sure I'm pronouncing these people's name correctly. They have acquired Bailey Falter from Pittsburgh. They have traded Evan Sisk and Callan Moss. They acquired Ryan Burgert and Stephen Kolek, and they traded away Freddie Fermin. So you lost Freddie Fermin, Evan Sisk, Callan Moss, and Yunar Marte. You didn't really take away from the big league club. You add a couple of pieces. I mean, this deadline, this is how I would rank the moves. Lugo is locked in for next year. You have a possible with Ryan Burgert that if he is a number two or number three high end guy, but he ends up being your four or five, and you're telling me that next year you got Cameron and Lugo and Reagans and Bubich and all these guys, you are in a great spot that again gives you flexibility for the offseason, and you kind of see what else you get from there. I mean, all of these moves are not going to work. I mean, if you add five players at the deadline, I mean, you know you're going to miss sometimes. Like we talk about draft picks, you're going to miss sometimes on picks. You're not going to win every single trade. But if we come away thinking that the Royals won one or possibly two out of these three trades, I think you have to be very, very hopeful about what that means for you as an organization. Coming up on the other side, we will talk about the Hall of Fame game. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Ersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
We can't even talk about the Hall of Fame game. They're just news on top of news on top of news on top of news. There's so much news. Terry McLaurin has asked to be traded from the Washington Commanders. Terry, my brother, come sit down. Terry, my brother, this is going to be news. This is going to be very important information for you to hear. They are not trading you. Washington thinks that they can go to and possibly win the Super Bowl. You are their most important offensive skill position player. They are not trading you. You can ask for a trade. There's nothing wrong with a trade request. You can ask for whatever. Tomorrow, you can go ask your boss for a raise request. Hey, I'd like to make more money. Your boss can deny your request. What are you going to do? If you're Terry McLaurin and all offseason, all you've done is tell your boss, I'm unhappy with my contract. I'm unhappy with my contract. And I understand why you're unhappy. You are making half of what you should be making. You are a $30 million a year wide receiver. At a minimum, you're $25 million. That's $10 million more than what you have. So I get why you're upset. I really do. You missed all of the offseason stuff and cost yourself $800,000. Nothing changed. You then decided to come back to work and pout and not participate, which you can. You can hold in. And now you want them to trade you. It's August. They ain't trading you. You played this wrong. You played this incorrectly. I'm sorry. They're not giving you any more money. Maybe, just maybe, they'll do this. Maybe they'll move some of the money around and give you some money up front. You know, these $15 million are divided into game checks. Maybe what they'll do is this. I think this will probably be how they resolve this situation because Terry McLaurin is not going to play for another team this year. They're not trading him. I could see them moving some of the money up. Hey, we're going to give you $5 million today. We're just going to give it to you. And then what we'll do is we will create incentives on the back end that you can earn to give yourself a raise for the year. I think that's how they resolve this issue. We'll give you the ability to earn it. Hey, if you have 100 catches this year, we'll give you some money for that. If you have 10 touchdowns this year, we'll give it to you. If you have 1,500 yards, we'll give you some extra money. If you go have a monster season, we will pay you for the monster season. But we are not paying you. They've made that very clear. They made that very clear, Terry. I don't know what to tell you, brother. I'm sorry. I want everybody to get paid. I really do. I want you to get paid. Again, I understand why you're unhappy. I know $15 million is a lot of money, but if the market tells you that you're worth $25 to $30 million and you're making $15 million, I do understand how that can be frustrating. But I just, no. The answer is no, is what they've told you. They're not trading you. So I would just tell you to go back to work. That's what I would tell you to do. That'd be my advice. Or negotiate a little differently than how you've been negotiating.
I mean, does he really think that he's going to get traded out in
I would say this.
It'll be August.
You know what I would say, though? This is where it's a little different. If Terry McLaurin was in the NBA, he'd have a chance of getting traded.
Yeah, unless he's changing sports, though, he ain't getting traded.
Yeah, but you – and you know what? Terry McLaurin could actually probably get traded. You got to want it bad enough. You know what I mean? You got to want it bad enough to get traded. Say what you want about NBA players. When they're done playing for a team, oh, they're done playing for a team. You know what? Jimmy Butler would get traded if he was Terry McLaurin. James Harden would get traded if he's Terry McLaurin. I'm going to make this so uncomfortable for everybody. You have no choice but to trade me. But if you want to stay on the team and you're just unhappy about your salary, go back to work. What are we arguing about? Go back to work. Scary Terry, man. My brother. I'm pulling for you, man. Is he even the highest paid wide receiver on their team anymore?
I think that's why he's angry.
He might not even be that anymore. Terry, they got you, man. They really do. They got you, brother. I'm sorry, man. All right. I had a lot of fun. Hopefully you had a lot of fun. Take care of yourself. We'll be back again tomorrow at the same time. It's The Drive.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
A message from a former New Yorker, presented by StreetEasy.
We left Brooklyn Heights in 2021, and we miss it. We went from sharing a neighborhood with a few celebrities to sharing a neighborhood with my wife's parents.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.